This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Christ be with me. Christ be within me. Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in the hearts of all that love me, and Christ in the mouth of friend and stranger. Amen. Happy St. Patrick's weekend. My name is McMarty Oslatic. As we all become Irish, St. Patrick's weekend. The words that I quoted in that prayer come from a famous prayer attributed to St. Patrick, known as St. Patrick's breastplate. And with those acclamations of Christ being everywhere, it sort of alludes to his analogy of the shamrock and the Trinity of Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those three manifestations of God being everywhere. And that is certainly what we are celebrating in a special way here today. When I was doing my sermon preparation, there are several different materials that I use, and I ran across one particular devotional where the person that wrote the devotion began their reflection on these readings with this story. There were two men who had a hot air balloon, and they went up for a hot air balloon ride, and they rose so high, and suddenly a cloud and fog bank came in, and they could no longer see the ground. And they floated around up there, directionless, not knowing where they were going. And after some period of time, the fog lifted and they could finally see. And when they could finally see, they looked down and there was a man on the ground. And so one of them called out, "Hey, can you tell us where we are?" And the man looked up and shouted, "You're in a balloon." And not missing a beat, the man in the balloon shouted down, "Are you a philosopher?" And the man said, "Yes, I am." And the other man in the balloon was quizzical about this, and so he asked his friend, "How did you know he was a philosopher?" And he said, "It's simple. A philosopher will give you a quick and immediate logical answer that gives you absolutely no clue as to where you are or where you need to go in your life." Where we are and where we need to go in our life. This, I think, is the theme of the gospel that we are given today. And it certainly is the theme of the spiritual migration small group series that we have concluded this week with Brian McLaren. Where we are and where we need to go. It has implications for our individual spiritual lives. And as Brian so eloquently pointed out in a very passionate way this week when he was here on Wednesday, it has some implications that we need to look at when we think about church itself. Above all, what is going on in this gospel is Jesus giving us all, especially those gathered, a clue as to where they are and where they need to go. We look at this reading from John 12, and here we have the people gathered for the feast, the Passover feast. And when we look at the history and we look at what they can tell us about the numbers of lambs that they were sacrificing on the altar, they had to have a family of 10 for each lamb, and so we're told that they were sacrificing about 265,000 lambs. Multiply that by 10, and we get an idea of how many people had gathered in Jerusalem for the festival. Upwards of 3 million people. And those of you who have been there know that 3 million people in that small walled city, that is a lot of folk. And it's going to be crowded. And so they're gathered. And the Jewish people are excited because some of them had become disciples of, some of them were aware of this Jesus who they thought just might be the Messiah. And the time was right now because their view of what was going to come down is that he was going to call for this revolution, this revolt that was going to get rid of the Roman oppression and they would be restored to power. And so these Greeks are there. Now, a little aside that's important here is that the Greeks lived up in the north near Caesarea Philippi. And we're told that Philip from Bethsaida was very close to there. So these Greeks, who might have been along with those Jews looking for the revolution, they want to see Jesus. So who are they going to ask? Well, hey, there's Philip. We know him from the neighborhood. Ask him to take us to Jesus. And so they do. And so they are brought. And what is the message that Jesus gives to those who have this expectation? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. Not exactly what they had in mind. But there is something about the passion that Jesus has here. There is something that he teaches us that we have to understand that if we are to be the people that God has called us to be, it's got to start with passion. I ran across this little video clip that I'd like to share with you, and I'm going to give you a spoiler alert here. It is sarcastic. Some people saw it at 7:45 and they thought I was trying to preach some heresy here, but let's watch the clip.
God has blessed us all with complex and intense emotions. One of the most intense emotions we can experience is passion. Passion for our work makes the work enjoyable and the outcome of it better. Passion for your spouse improves the quality of your marriage. Passion is a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, it's a sin. You see, God wants us to be in control of ourselves at all times. And passion can cause us to lose control and live in the moment. That is why we must do all that we can to avoid passion. We should select spouses that we are unlikely to ever be passionate about. And we should all seek the most boring corporate jobs that can provide us a mundane workday full of tasks that we will never be passionate about. When we have eradicated passion from our lives, we can finally be the bland robots God created us to be. These have been Deep Thoughts from a Shallow Christian.
I'm glad you laughed. This finished at 7:45, and the description of us as the frozen chosen might have applied, because I think they thought, yeah, that's right. No. We're called to have passion. Those of you that were with us for Brian McLaren, you might not have agreed with everything that Brian had to say, but boy, there is a sincere man who has passion about what he's doing. And it's the same for us. These people who are our saints going on mission, the passion that they have displayed in all of the preparation and the fundraising, that they are going to now have this experience. And I guarantee they are going to come back more energized because of the passion that they're going to experience in Reverend Deborah and all of those people down there who are doing so much. We hear in Hebrews that Jesus issued loud cries, that there was passion with everything that Jesus did, and he was heard because of his appeal. It's the same for us. Passion. But it's not crazy, outlandish passion. It's passion that is meant to be channeled. That we are meant, just like Philip, who had a talent because he knew these Greeks, and so channeled that passion to bring these people to Jesus. The same for us, in whatever gifts that we have been given, to challenge and to channel those so that we are bringing people to Jesus by the way we use our gifts. You know, there's that great beatitude, blessed are the meek, the most misinterpreted of the Beatitudes. And remember, we talked about this some time ago, that the meek, when we look at the translation of that, really means like the animal that is bridled so that all of its energy can be channeled. And we are called to be meek like that, passionate but channeled for the right purpose. And so that is this call to be that grain of wheat. Now, to take it to the next step, this particular section, John 12, is going to lead us into John 13. And it is something that we are going to celebrate when we get to Tuesday of Holy Week, when Jesus girds himself with a towel, gets down on his knees, and wipes the feet of his closest friends, giving them that image of servant ministry, of humility, to which we are called when we are passionately using the gifts God has given us. That it's not about us, as Brian says in the book, it's about serving others. When I was reflecting on this grain of wheat thing, the thing that came to my mind was composting. And I know we used to do it at our house. We don't do it anymore. And let's face it, it is messy, and it's smelly, and it's buggy. But boy, can it create some incredible beauty. I want to use that as a little image as we go forward here. Composting. Smelly, ugly, disgusting stuff that helps us to build a more sustainable, healthier planet. Instead of throwing out our raw fruits and vegetable peelings that we don't want, can't use, the fact is there are still things that are inside of it that when combined with air and heat and time can break down, and the breaking down of the garbage opens it up to become nutrients for our soil. Let me say that again, because that's where the metaphor is. Our garbage over time can be broken down so that it opens up and becomes nutrients for the soil. Now that's true literally, but I think it is also true in our lives as individuals and also in our lives as church. There are all things that each of us have that we would consider to be our garbage. And sometimes it is the hardest thing for us to get rid of because we don't want to admit that it's there. And yet, when we are willing to take out the garbage, when we are willing to let God open it up, it is then that some incredible things over time can happen. But we have to be willing. Eugene Peterson, who wrote a version of the Bible called The Message, where he doesn't take it literally word for word, but tries to just give us the essence of meaning, when he's talking about these words of Jesus, this is how he interprets those verses of John 12. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in love, and I would add passionate in love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. You know, that stuff that we create when we do composting is called humus. It is the same root word as the virtue of humility. It is the same root word as humanity. We are called to be people of the earth. That even the garbage in our lives, God can use. If we are willing to be passionate and we are willing to let God channel that energy for good. There is a story that has been told many times lately. And the story is about a person who encounters a snake that is injured and pleads with the person to help it. And it's a poisonous snake. And the person takes the snake and nurses it back to health and thinks all is fine until that now healthy snake bites the person with its poisonous venom. And the snake looks at the person and says, "But you knew who I was when you picked me up." Now, some people choose to end the parable there. But some wise monks finish the parable with an addendum, where the monk says back to the snake, "Just because it is your nature to destroy does not change my nature to love." This is what our call is, to love. The words we heard from Jeremiah. What a beautiful passage. And remember, God writes his words on our hearts. Now we have garbage, we have difficulties, we have sufferings. There was once a widow who was very upset with those words, and she said to her rabbi, "If God really loved us, why would he write his words on our hearts? If he loved us, he'd write his words in our hearts." And the wise rabbi responded, "No. God writes his words on our hearts so that when our heart breaks, his word falls in. Unless a grain of wheat fall to the earth and die, it remains just a grain of wheat." May we be passionate lovers of not just ourselves, but the world, so that we too might reap that great harvest. Amen.